Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Special guest this morning. We are glad and we welcome to the program. Stafford Sheriff David Decatur joins us this morning. Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thank you for having me.
It is, I think, this is the first time we've actually had you in studio for the full show since you've been sheriff. So welcome.
Oh, thank you. I always love coming here. I always have such a great time hanging out with you. And of course, I'm very grateful for the many years of friendship and partnership we've had. You've had with our department and the radio station, our local media. You guys do a fantastic job of helping us communicate to the community.
Well, thank you. It's our pleasure. And yeah, you and I, we go back a long, long time. I don't even want to count the years how long we've worked together. That leads into we're gonna talk just kind of overall and look at the department kind of a year into you being sheriff and what we've seen for the past year. One of the things I think you have to look at in the community I think is grateful for is just you came in here knowing the department as well as anyone could have.
Oh yeah, that was a great it was great for me to be able to come into the department after having 30 years of it being with the department and growing up in the county and working under Sheriff Jett, who taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. And it really helped with the transition because I was his number two guy for 15 and a half years, and he allowed me to be such a big part of the decision making. And that whole transition made it so much easier once he retired, and then I was able to step into that position.
And you've worked under a number of Stafford sheriffs and have just a real good understanding and a good base when you took over the job.
Oh yeah, I stand on the shoulders of many great men and women, but going back to Sheriff Richard Ashby, who hired me back in the 80s, and then Sheriff Williams, and then of course Sheriff Jett, and Major Coffey, who was the chief deputy. I learned a great deal from him as well.
I'm sure there was nothing that surprised you, but I'm sure when January 1st a year ago came around and you became sheriff, a lot of responsibility, obviously.
Oh yeah, a lot of responsibility. But what made it so much easier? A number of things made it easier for me. One, I have a great department. The men and women in our department do an incredible job, and they deeply care about the community, and they're highly trained, and they're very professional, and they're very talented. And that makes it easy for me when you're surrounded by great people. And, of course, we have a wonderful community. Stafford County is the best community in my eyes. And in the Fredericksburg area, we have a great community surrounding us, and that makes it easier to police when you have a community of people who deeply care, you know, about the quality of life and about their families, and it makes it so much easier.
Well, and Sheriff, one of the things that makes, I don't know if we're unique, but it sure is nice to see whenever things come up, you know, your department, you all work well together. You, Stafford, Spotsylvania, the city, King George, Caroline, you all work very closely together when you have to.
Oh yeah, we have a really great partnership. And of course, 9/11 taught everyone across our nation how important it is to work together, because criminals, they don't know the geographical boundaries. And it's important to have that partnership and that communications and that interoperability. And I'm very blessed to have a great relationship with all the surrounding jurisdictions and law enforcement as a whole. You know, we pitch in and help each other out, and we're there to support each other, you know, whether it's with personnel or manpower, or if you need equipment, or just the moral support. You know, when an officer is hurt, you turn around, you look over your shoulder at the hospital, like when we had Brandon Boyle back in June.
Yeah.
And a number of folks from different law enforcement agencies were at the hospital. And that means a lot, having that tight partnership, because we're all in it together.
That's got to be tough to get that call as sheriff, and when you hear that one of your deputies has been shot in the line of duty.
Oh yeah, it was devastating, and I was actually out that night heading home, and I heard the radio, the call come over the radio, and I was able to get there when Brandon was being brought out by other deputies, getting him to a safe location. And, you know, he was shot 5 times. Strong young man. He was up on his feet. He was more concerned about his fellow deputies and his mother and his family than he was for himself. But yeah, it scared me, you know, because you don't want to lose any of your deputies. And, you know, when you get that call or you hear that, you think of, you know, what's going to happen? Is he going to make it? And he's a strong young man, and he's recovering. He's on light duty, and he's chomping at the bit to get back.
I was wondering, I was going to ask if he's back on the street yet, but apparently that will come with time.
Yeah, if he had it his way, he would be back out there. He was trying to get out there, and his doctor, because of, you know, it's a lot of injuries to recover from and surgeries, and he's just an incredible young man, very strong.
I heard you say something the other day that I just thought was, so interesting. And you talked about how when you all are together, when you're having staff meetings, one of the things you continually to tell those in the staff or sheriff's office is you're all stronger together as a unit. All the knowledge you have. You're able to attack problems that way better, and it just showed that you really have instilled a team atmosphere the office.
Well, of course, law enforcement in our department is, you know, paramilitary. You have that hierarchy, you know, the structure, but we've you know, over the years we've adjusted and you know, given people autonomy. I think one thing, people want purpose in order to do a great job. They have the purpose because of the job we do. Mm-hmm. And hopefully for most people, it's a calling to come into law enforcement. It's not just a job. And then two, giving people the autonomy and allowing them to be a part of the decision-making. You're able to do such a better job. And when we have meetings, we all often will talk. We have a group of people in a room. You know, one of the things that we say, that no one in this room is smarter than all of us together. You know, so being able to tap into people. I have such talented people, you know, people who know so much more about criminal investigation and crime scene investigations than I do. And then we have a group of guys that know so much about traffic safety and traffic management, you know. So you tap into all of those people. It gives you a better chance to solve problems.
Well, I know we've gotten to know a number of your people who come through here often and talk about things going on and just highly trained, and just it's really been an honor to get to know them. And you just know that the law enforcement in this community in Stafford County in good hands.
Oh, and that has happened over the years, you know, ingraining that culture into our people. And it goes back to Sheriff Ashby and then Sheriff Williams and then Sheriff Jett. One thing Sheriff Jett did back in 2002, when we created our mission statement, instead of having the sheriff and his chief deputies or senior staff create a mission statement over a week period, we brought our whole department in together to craft our mission statement. We wanted everyone in the department at that time. It didn't matter what position you held. We wanted everybody's input. And we put that mission statement together. And then on the fifth day, we presented it to the sheriff and adopted it. And along with the mission statement were our core values. And one of the important core values that we really wanted in there, which we have, is compassion, having compassion for others, because so much of what we do is helping people solve problems. You know, most people think that arresting people is a big part of what we do, but really the most prevalent thing we do is working with people in solving problems and helping just with the quality of life.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that really sets the sheriff's office in Stafford apart. That's really something that you believe and live and have instilled that in others.
Oh, absolutely, you have to, and it all begins with your culture and, you know, what your mission is and what you stand for, and then hiring. You got to hire the right people, and we try to hire for attitude. We can teach you the skills, but if you have that emotional intelligence, you're able to. You're trainable, you're coachable, you care about people, and you have the right attitude and desire. And that's what we're looking for. And then the other skills we can teach you. As long as you're trainable, you have the right attitude, your chances of being hired are pretty good.
How long is, when a person starts the process of getting hired, how long does it take to get a deputy from when they start that process to when you can get them and use them and have them out in the field?
Well, because of the nature of what we do and, you know, the responsibility of being in law enforcement, there's a number of steps you have to go through. And that's one thing that we've tried to do is, you know, try to streamline it a little bit. And so you put in the application, and then once we get your application, we do a written test and a physical abilities testing. Mm-hmm. And then we, do the background. You come in for an interview. We look at your background, and then if you make it through the interview, then we'll do an in-depth background investigation, and then there's a psychological involved and medical. And so there's a litany of things you have to go yeah. through, but they're all very important, making sure that you get the right person hired.
For kids who are thinking about a career in law enforcement, any special courses, any kind of things that they should be looking at to help get them ready for those all those steps?
I'm glad you bring that up, because one of the things that we tried to do last year and we're doing this year is improving our recruitment. And part of that is going out into the community mm-hmm. and trying to catch people or the younger generation and get them interested in law enforcement. And I think we've hired a lot of folks who've come out of the military, and those folks do a great job. And then we hire quite a few people that go to college, they get the degree, and they come back and apply, and we hire those folks. So, and we also have a number of programs too. We have our cadet program, where the kids from 13 on up can be a part of our department and work hand in hand with us. And then we have a junior deputy program that we have during the summertime, where we bring kids in over a period of a week, and then we bring the next group in and over.
I saw that last time. That was fantastic.
Yeah. And that allows them to get a taste of law enforcement from the inside. And that's a great way. But I think the daily interactions with the community mm-hmm. and our DARE program, and then being in the high schools and it having an open department to allow people to come in and take a look. But I think it's a great way to reach out to the younger generation and the youth
yeah.
and try to get them interested.
Definitely. Stafford Sheriff David Decatur here this morning. More on Town Talk coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Sheriff David Decatur, our special guest this morning as we talk about law enforcement in Stafford County. One of the things, Sheriff, that I think really surprises me whenever I come over and I see some of these things, the technology and the way you're fighting crime now, you've kept up with the times.
Yeah, it's very important to stay on top of technology. And of course, you want to purchase and select the technology that's going to work best for you and help you leverage be like a force multiplier that's going to work in your favor to help fight crime and help prevent crime. And that's one of the approaches we take, is we want to make sure that it's a great piece of technology that's going to be beneficial, but also we know we have to be good stewards of taxpayer money, and we want to make sure that we're getting the right equipment.
Well, I know body cameras is one area where you're it's something you'd like to have, but there's a huge cost, a real large cost, and I know you continue to analyze that.
Right. Yeah. Back in the 90s, our department was one of the first to go with the dash cameras, and we still have the dash cameras. And of course, our deputies, they wear microphones that pick up the audio, mm-hmm. and that technology we have is a great tool for our men and women who are out in the community doing police work. But we wanted to move forward on our body cameras, getting the body cameras, and we put in for a grant. We got the approval from the Board of Supervisors, and of course, we're so grateful that we have such a great board that is supportive of public safety. and they understand the need for it. But also, you know, there's limited funding, and you know, it's a big purchase. And the cameras themselves, it's not so much the hardware, but the data storage is one part. And then for the Commonwealth Attorney, they need a paralegal and another Commonwealth Attorney to help, because there's a lot involved with the courtroom testimony, and there's a lot that goes into it. And of course, the data storage is an important part. And we did a pilot program for 90 days, and we feel very confident with what we what direction we want to move in, and what equipment we want to purchase and put on the street. So we're ready to do that. We put in the grant. Unfortunately, we didn't receive it, but we're going to continue to pursue it.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Storage is a whole different thing. It's one thing. It's great to get all that video, but you have to be able to document it and store it, and that is a huge thing.
Oh yeah, and back when we first started looking at it, the technology hadn't quite caught up yet, and now the technology is there for the data storage, and you know, it continues to progress, and so we feel like it'd be a great tool, and that's the direction we want to move in. It's just a matter of the financing of it.
Is the sheriff's office doing anything with drones yet?
Yes, we started our drone program, and we got the approval from the Board of Supervisors, and so we're waiting to get the certificate, you know, of approval on that. And we've already purchased the drones, and we've established a team of men and women who will work on the drone team. And of course, the purchase of the drones and the use of the drones is going to be a great tool for people who are missing. We have quite a few people who wander, and we have, I know you're familiar with the Project Lifesaver, where people who tend to wander or they're suffering from dementia or other challenges that people have, they wear the bracelet, we have the receiver, and when they wander, we're able to track them down. And with the use of a drone, we could find them quicker. And then for crime scenes, and then also search and rescue operations.
Stafford Sheriff David Decatur here with us this morning. As we talk about technology, one of the things, and there's all kinds of gadgets that you do have to use, but I know just staffing enhancements are something that you've implemented in the last year. And you talk about fighting crime, and that's where it all begins.
Right. And, you know, what we did this year, at the end of the year, we did what's called a year in review. And we did one, we did it for the purpose of allowing people in the community to know, and also for the people in our department to know what we accomplished over the 12-month period. And it's a great recap of looking at all the work that they've done, and the work that we've done through the partnership with the community. And part of that is, you know, the recruitment and trying to get people hired on. The challenge that we have and other departments have is competitive salaries, you know, and of course you can go further north and make more money, and the compensation is higher. So we have to compete with that. And so we're trying to improve on our salaries, and that makes a big difference. You know, if you have a great department, it's one thing, and that's an attraction.
Yeah.
And of course the purpose of being in law enforcement and what draws you into it is important. But, you know, when you look at the income and what it takes to survive, you know, a lot of times people are going to gravitate to the higher paying salaries.
And I guess that's up for departments around here, everybody, that's what you're dealing with, what they can make to the north.
Right. And our board of supervisors worked with us over last year, and we were suffering, and a lot of departments are, because of the economic downturn, it's called compression pay. And it's when people aren't getting the pay increases over the years, and the pay start to get compressed. And you could have a deputy who, or an employee who's been here for a couple of years, and one who's been here for 5 years or more, and there's not a big gap in their pay. But you have the person who's been here longer, has the experience and the training. And so we were able to work on that last year and separate that compression to get people more pay and to make the adjustment. And we're going to be working on that, the next phase of that, and just trying to improve the salaries and the compensation and make it more competitive.
In your year in review, I noticed where you talked about you added a second major position, 9 patrol deputies, a crime scene technician, a fleet manager. But those are all really on the ground things that are really involved in helping your office fight crime.
Yeah, we needed another major's position. We had for a long time. We have 7 divisions, and for years we've had all those division commanders reporting to 1 major, and now we have 2. So we have it, bifurcated, divided, and it's really helped with accountability. And another thing, you have to be careful of. You have different divisions, and we have to work as a team. And you don't want those different divisions to get in these silos where we're not communicating. Mm-hmm. So having that cross communication with the department, because they may have a piece of the puzzle that the detectives may have it and patrol may need it. So that communication is very important. And bringing on a major has really helped with that, with the accountability.
The canines have become so important to what law enforcement does. We saw the case in the fall in Spotsylvania where the canine took a couple of bullets in a case. But I know you continue to add dogs. You got a dog from Ben Roethlisberger's foundation.
Oh yeah, we're very fortunate, and we do count and rely on our canine program. Of course, they can do so much that we can as humans, the ability to track and to sniff out explosives and narcotics and those kind of things. So they're a great tool. And all the years I've been here, for over 30 years, we've relied on our canine program. And we're very fortunate through the foundation to get a dog and then to have a new canine handler trained. And a week after the dog was put out on the road, we had a attempted armed robbery at a convenience store, and the dog was able to track the suspect down, located a gun where he had placed in a baby stroller on someone's carport, and the dog is just, and the handler, it's a team.
Yeah.
They do an incredible job.
Wow. So he was able to sniff that down.
Yeah, yeah. And the beauty of that is that it didn't cost any taxpayers, money because of the foundation.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that we're doing, the drone program, we're using asset forfeiture money, so it doesn't cost the taxpayers any money. We're moving forward on a shooting simulator, and that's not going to cost the taxpayers any money, but it's going to be a great tool to help with the decision-making for our deputies.
Hold that thought, because we'll talk about the shooting range simulator when we come back. Stafford Sheriff David Decatur here this morning on Town Talk. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
Channel.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Sheriff David Decatur, our special guest this morning. We're talking, looking a lot at what's going on in the last year with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. You just mentioned before we took the break, Sheriff, about the shooting simulator, and that sounds exciting. And I guess we'll give you in-house really some ways to help train your deputies.
Yeah, the shooting simulator is a great tool that puts you as close to reality as you can get, and it will help our deputies who are out in the neighborhoods, in the community, in the streets. It puts them in different scenarios that help them make the right decisions and to use the right tools. It's not always a shooting situation. It helps them in a particular scenario, depending on the scenario we want to put them through, to pick the right tool, whether it's pepper spray, communications, or deadly force. And it's a great way of preparing them on the front end, mm-hmm, to prevent anything tragic from happening once they're out. And our local academy has a simulator, which is a great tool. And we wanted to have one in our department so, we could train on it frequently. And that's a great way of preparing our men and women.
I use the one. They tested me out at the one at the academy, and boy, it opened your eyes to situations. And I don't know now, I don't know how deputies do it, because it's not as easy and cut and dry. You go into the simulator, and you have to make these decisions. It's tough.
Oh yeah, very tough. And it's the whole thing is based on action versus reaction, and you're having to react on the actions of the person you're dealing with, and so you're already behind. And that training environment is such a great way of preparing people and to increase their confidence. And training is so important. That's what you default back to. That's what you fall back on. So giving them that training and that ability and the accessibility to the equipment is going to be great. And then along with that, we're doing training for our whole department on implicit bias-based bias policing, you know, and it's just another part of the training, making sure that we're staying contemporary, we're staying on the front end, and we're training our folks, not just in the classroom, but also hands-on training as well to improve their abilities and to hone their skills.
Well, you look at it, all the things nationally that have gone on, and this just helps your department prepare for things that you can't prepare for in some ways, but you can help train them and give them the tools.
Yeah, we want to give them the best opportunity we can for both our deputies and for the community. And the classroom training and the shooting simulator is just part of that. And, of course, as you mentioned, the challenges across our nation in the past year and even longer with police-related shootings, that also has a huge impact on recruitment. You know, you're not paying, you know, a whole lot of money to these men and women who want to become or a deputy or get involved in law enforcement. And then on top of that, you know, you want to make sure you're supporting them and they feel as if, all right, I'm not getting paid a lot of money and I'm in a job that's very dangerous. And one thing that has really helped us is our community has been very supportive. And I can't tell you how many times we've had people from the community come to the department and bring food or just come in with thank you cards. And that just increases our desire and to do a better job.
But it's got to be nice to have when your people put their lives on the line every day, just to be noticed and to have people come and say thanks. It's a great reminder of how important that is.
Oh yeah, definitely. It definitely has an impact on our men and women, and we're grateful for the people in the community that support us and that are there for us. And you know, when you think about it, in law enforcement, you have total strangers that are willing to put down their lives and to make the ultimate sacrifice for people they don't know, and that alone should tell people, you know, how much we care and how much we're willing to sacrifice to protect our community.
Yeah, no, and the thing about it, and we see it when the case last spring with one of your deputies, you never know, going to any call, you know, the condition of the person or what they may be thinking or planning, and it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. In that particular call, family member called and wanted to check on the welfare of their family member, and that's what led to it. Was nothing more than checking on the welfare to make sure that person was okay, and it was almost like an ambush where as our deputy was moving up the stairs, the suspect had the tactical advantage. And
thankfully,
so there's a lot of challenges, you know, with recruitment and with training, and there's a lot that falls back on law enforcement because of the nature of what we do. I mean, when you look at any government agency, we're the closest to the community and we're constantly engaged with the community, you know, just because of what we do.
With all that's out there, has it been tough to recruit? Have you had enough people that are coming forward and wanting to become part of the Stafford Sheriff's Office?
Yeah, you know, this year last year we had a lot of positions that were unfilled because of people leaving to go into higher paying jobs. And because we were able to increase the pay a little bit and to work on that compression pay, we were able to get, I think we have all of our sworn positions filled right now, or pretty close to it, which is a good thing. But the problem that you have is it takes a period of time to reap the benefits from those new hires, because they have to go through an 18-week academy,
yeah,
and then you have post-academy, and then they're released to independent patrol, and then by the time you start to reap the benefits of a deputy operating independently, you know, it's a period of time. So, so far, you know, things are looking up, but, you know, it's like a churning effect where, you know, you'll hire new deputies, and then you'll have other ones who want to pursue other yeah. careers or move on to a higher paying job or a higher paying law enforcement agency. They
yeah.
will hire them.
Well, we've seen in the state how state police are so right now are way low as far as staffing and have trouble. So it's something across the board.
Yeah, and that has a big impact on us. The state police for years augmented our department with traffic
yeah.
Investigations, and I think now it's down to 10% of the traffic crashes that we have that state police is investigating. But they have a huge challenge because,
yeah.
you know, they have over 100 positions to fill. And it, just in our Fredericksburg area, they're down quite a few.
Boy, but for all law enforcement, because that, like you say, that then falls on the Stafford Sheriff's Office. And I know when you take a look at if you were funded by the state to where you should be compared to the population and everything, all departments around here, you'd have more people. So it's a strain on everybody.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the comp board from the state, they owe us, I believe 13 to 14 positions.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you had 13 or 14 more positions, what you could do?
Oh yeah, it would have a huge impact on our policing ability. Because what you want is you want a period of that time that officer has to be to have it go towards proactive policing. And so much of what we do, we're responding to calls for service. And then when you factor in court and training, courtroom preparation, all the things that go in, a small percentage of their time is devoted towards being proactive and community mm-hmm. policing. And it's a workload issue. And, of course, the big challenge for us, you know, if you look at it globally, the biggest challenge is just continuing to be effective in a community that has that's growing, the increased population, and we have to keep up with that.
Yeah, boy, you've seen it in your times. You're 30 years with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Boy, have you seen the changes?
Oh yeah, our county has grown leaps and bounds, and I know for a long time we were at the top end of the fastest growing communities in the country. And we continue to grow very fast. And with that comes, you know, population increase, the density of how mm-hmm. close people live together, traffic, the traffic flow and the congestion. And so there's a lot of challenges. You bring in one Walmart and that takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. No, I think of just what 610 has become over the years. And it's something. Stafford Sheriff David Decatur here this morning. Was it last year that you successfully completed accreditation?
Yes, it's a four-year period. You go through reaccreditation every 4 years, and at the beginning of the year, we had the inspectors come in for our reaccreditation, which we achieved. And again, our men and women, Captain Sean Kimmins did a great job, and our other deputies involved that keep up on that and keep us moving in the right direction. But it really is a team effort. Our department, you know, it's a big operation. There's a lot of moving parts to it. So it takes that collaboration and teamwork to make sure that we're meeting the standards and we're doing everything that we need to do to be to achieve the accreditation, the reaccreditation, and to be a professional organization. And you have inspectors that come in mm-hmm. and you open up the doors and they dig into your files and they look at your equipment and the way you police and the way you do things. And and it's a good thing to keep you on top of your game.
Oh, I know it's a lot of work, and like you say, they look at a lot of different things. But to get that accreditation just validates all that you're doing.
Oh yes, it's very important. It's very important to let the community know that hey, you know, we're going to work hard to provide a great service to you as a community, and they deserve it, and they expect us to be professional. and allowing inspectors and assessors to come into your department to look at everything, an outside perspective, making sure that you're staying on track and that that you're doing all the things that you need to do, whether it's policy and procedure or, you know, the way you do things through hiring equipment and just overall the way you're policing and the way you run your organization. So it's great having outside people come in and take a look just to reaffirm that you're doing the right things.
Well, I know when we have, because I mentioned a number of your people on your staff come in here and talk about their specialties, and not only do they always come across as just incredibly well trained, they're just passionate about working in this community and what they do.
And that's one of the things that we try to attract at the beginning, and I mentioned it earlier, was hiring for attitude, hiring the people who have that desire. And the great thing about our department is when you come in, if you have certain goals or ambitions, and maybe you're being pulled in crime scene investigation or mm-hmm. traffic or whatever the specialty that you're attracted to, you have that opportunity. You kind of create your own future, and you control your own destiny. And if we put people in positions where they have that passion, they're going to do such a better job. And we're blessed to have, you know, great deputies that love doing what they do.
Stafford Sheriff David Decatur is here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Sheriff David Decatur, our special guest this morning. Sheriff, it's just been good to have you here. We've gone through a lot of things, and it's always good, I guess, when you do something like this this year in review. And if someone wants to look at this, all they have to do is it's on the website, the Sheriff's Office website, and just go and check it out. But it's good to kind of, I guess, look back and see what you've done and see where you're going.
Yeah, it was a part of being transparent, and we wanted, as I mentioned earlier, we wanted to be able to put it out to the community what we had achieved the first year, first 12 months, and what direction we're trying to move towards. And it's important to let the community know what we're doing and what we've achieved, and also to allow our personnel, our employees, our deputies to know all the great work that they've done. And we have a lot to do, and there's a lot of challenges in the future. And I think it's a great way, again, to be transparent and to communicate, to the community, to allow them to know what we're up to and, you know, what direction we're heading in.
Well, you're involved in a number of events. There's in the summer, there's National Night Out. What you do with Special Olympics, we did a show last week on the Polar Plunge, and Matt Doyle was in. And we talked a lot about his involvement with the Sheriff's Department and what you do through Special Olympics. And boy, what you've done for those kids that are involved in what the Sheriff's Office has done with Special Olympics and those kids, they just love it.
Oh, Special Olympics is a great program. And I just love Matthew Doyle. And his father, Tim Doyle, has done just a fabulous mm-hmm. job of raising money for the Polar Plunge and getting people involved, and they're quite the team.
Well, and Daryl English has pointed out that it's a two-way street, that he said that the people in the office have become so much more aware and able to deal with people with disabilities just by their work with Special Olympics.
Oh yeah, and it's really helped our men and women. And what is interesting is we have, of course, the Special Star Force program, and their cadets who are young adults and, the younger folks who have some, you know, disabilities, intellectual disabilities, and just an incredible group. Mm-hmm. And they're allowed to get involved with our department, and we do some training with them. And they inject so much energy into our department. And it truly is a blessing to have these folks who want to be a part of us. We're the ones that are reaping the benefits. They may think they are, but we're the ones that who feel that that compassion and that love, and to know that these young folks are giving it their all and being a part of us, and it's a great feeling.
Yeah, well, people, if they haven't, you ought to go to when Special Olympics does their basketball, the opening night of the basketball tournament, and it's at one of the Stafford high schools every year. And when a deputy will walk in with one of the athletes with the torch, and it is really a moving experience.
Oh yeah, yeah, the opening ceremonies. Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, the overall the year goes, it's. You pleased with your first year
absolutely.
Office?
Absolutely. We've had a great year. We've had challenges. We've had some crimes that have occurred in our county, a few violent crimes, not just in our county, but in the area.
Yeah.
But our men and women have done an incredible job. And it's not just our deputies, but the support staff and the whole machine. If you look at the department, it's everyone involved, you know, everybody kind of paddling in the right direction and working, you know, as a team is so important. And I feel very happy with what we've achieved. We've promoted 31 people in 1 year. Hmm. And that's from people retiring and leaving the department. And it's allowed, you know, a lot of people to be promoted, which is a good thing. And then the training, preparing our future leaders, very important, you know, the next generation of leaders. So the training and what we've accomplished, the increased community engagement, and improving our social media, getting the word out to the community. We've improved on our social media. You know, any good relationship, you have to have the trust. Trust is very important, and that's one thing we continue to work towards, but mm-hmm. also communicating. And it's incumbent upon us to do the very best job we can. And that's the leveraging of social media, being on the radio today talking about it, the Freelance Star, you know, all the ways that we can communicate, it's important for us to take advantage of it.
Boy, and it's also important for people I know to get involved, and one of the ways they can do that is through Crime Solvers. And if people know of something and don't feel comfortable calling the sheriff's office, you use the Crime Solvers line.
Yes, the Crime Solvers are very important, and we do some fundraising. Our folks with Crime Solvers, they do fundraising, so they can give that money to people who call in and provide, you know, valuable information that can go towards the closure or an arrest of someone involved in a crime. And, you know, our crime prevention unit does a great job, and we continue to try to improve on that with neighborhood watch and reaching out to the community and getting the community engaged. And I almost think about what we do in policing is almost analogous to like being a doctor. You know, used to be a doctor would come out to your house, or you would go see a doctor, he'd write a prescription, mm-hmm. tell you what the problem is, and you'd be on your way. But now people want to be involved in their health, and they want to be a part of the decision making. The same thing with policing in their neighborhoods. They live there, they know what's going on, they want to be a part of that, and involving them in that part of policing and problem solving is very important. And so that in community engagement, and with the use of cell phones and all the technology, we quickly receive information that helps us, you know, whether it's a crime that's occurred or just a disabled motorist or a drunk driver. And so all those ways of communicating are very important, but making our community a part of it, because they know better than we do.
Well, Sheriff, thank you for what you do, and thank you for coming in this morning. We've got to do this more, but this was great stuff. And again, great first year, and thank you to you and your department.
Thank you for having me. God bless you, Ted.
Stafford Sheriff David Decatur this morning. That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.